Welcome to That's Orgasmic, a podcast discussing the orgasmic and not so orgasmic moments of all things sex, relationships, and mental health. I am your host, Emily Duncan, and I'm a sexologist who provides online sex coaching sessions to help you cultivate sexual wellness. Celeste Moore is an image consultant and a dating coach who helps midlife men who have forgotten how to date by providing discreet dating and image consulting to improve their appearance, relationships, and confidence. She helps them navigate this crazy modern dating world that we live in. As somebody who has been like in the dating world for like 5 years, it is mayhem. So I appreciate the work you do. So thank you for coming on to That's Orgasmic.
Thank you so much for having me on today's show. I'm so excited to talk to everybody about fun dating. Dating, well, craziness too.
Yeah, it is crazy. It's literally mayhem out there. I guess first love to know, like, what is a dating and image consultant, and like, how can you help people?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I've been an image consultant for 16 years, and basically, right before that, I was certified as a matchmaker, but I kind of put that on hold because I was kind of young and I didn't really, it's like, this sounds fun, but I didn't really have like a database of people. So I was like, okay, let me pursue my other passion. And basically image consulting is, you know, styling, wardrobe, do color analysis, color psychology, etiquette. And then I kept getting asked to like focus on the dating side of things because it was such a needed niche, if you will. And so I decided to like rebrand and get certified as a dating coach so that I've kind of blended everything that I've learned. And so a dating coach obviously is here to help and coach and guide through the crazy dating world. And I help redo dating apps and help kind of really make sure that the people are presenting themselves properly, like how they want to be presented based on what they're looking for. And a lot of times people don't realize how important, you know, first impressions or image is when, meeting a potential mate.
Yeah. I think especially with today's society, when so much of dating is online to begin with, it is all about those first impressions. And I know there's been times even where I've swiped no on somebody's dating profile, then met them in person because they've been at the same event or something and recognized them from their profile. But I would definitely swipe right seeing them in person. But just because of the way it's been, I guess, presented online, it's been like, oh, no, that's not, I'm not interested. But then that actually could have definitely been a good match.
Yeah, it's crazy because literally within the first 3 seconds, our brain automatically, it sends a message to us based on your appearance. And the first thing we see is color. So, I mean, if you want to break it down in bits, but, you know, a lot of these profiles, these guys don't put themselves together, or they put like a mugshot or something that looks really horrible, or they're not smiling, or you can't really see them, or they have sunglasses. I mean, the list goes on, but really making sure that someone captures the true personality on a 2D photo is a little hard, but getting a lot of great different photos is so important. Just like you said, I mean, you're not going to swipe right if that photo is just like horrendous.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was interesting you just said there that one of the first things we pick up on is color. So like when we see somebody for the first time, that's, I guess, the first thing that our brain registers? Or like, are you able to talk about, I guess, that process a bit more?
Yeah, sure. I love color. I love color psychology and what it means. And yeah, it doesn't matter if we see a person with a red shirt or an animal, I don't know, like, you know, the color, basically color. So just, I'm going to use red as an example. Red is the most powerful color. It also sends a message that if it's too, like, if just say I had a red suit on and I really wanted to have an audience embrace me with warmth and trust. And well, I'm wearing too powerful of a color. Now, bits and pieces are different than like a whole outfit. So depending on how you want to come across, like if you want to show your creative side, if you want to show that you're trusting or that you can listen, or there's all different colors and what they mean. So I think it's fascinating how you can basically wear something to present something.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And it's so interesting how much it can change how people, yeah, perceive you. I know even just if I put on one outfit and it comes across one way compared to a different one, it's maybe a bit more softer compared to an edgy one. And it can completely change how, yeah, people, do, I guess, make those first assumptions or those first, you know, impressions of like who they think you're going to be.
Yeah. I mean, look, a lot of us are like, I don't judge. And it's not that, it's just this, it's a message that's being sent to you right away. So
yeah,
it's just, what do you want that message to be and who is your audience? So,
yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I remember when I did my sexology course at uni, our first day of uni, and they said, you know, you can't say that you don't judge. We all judge. We just need to be aware of how we're doing it. And they made us sit down and do this task where two of us had to talk about somebody in front of us and make up all these assumptions, like what, you know, sexuality are they? What car do they drive? This, that, and make all these assumptions. Because they're like, you need to be aware of how you judge people, because there is no way in avoiding it. We all do it. It's like we've got no way of stopping ourselves from doing it.
I like that exercise.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was not what I was expecting on our first day of like sex school, basically.
Like, okay.
Yeah. I'd love to know, like, what is like the demographic of your clients like? Like, who is typically coming to see you?
Yeah, so I typically see men, and the age range is like late 30s to early 60s. So it's kind of a big age range, but it's usually... There's three people that really come to see me. It's either a guy that's been married to his career. You know, he's been in school for a long time. Maybe he's a doctor and he just forgot how to date or doesn't know how to date, right? He's focused on his career. The other guy is the one that's divorced or been in a relationship for a long time. And now he's dating in this, you know, this modern world of craziness. And then also I do see married clients, and usually it's like the wife reaching out to me saying, can you please like update my husband's wardrobe, make him look sexy again, figure out how to date me again, because I'm bored, or spice up my love life, you know, give me some ideas, give him some ideas. So it's not necessarily the couple, it's him, but he's attached.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. It's probably what I expected too, for who would be going to, I guess, look for support in that area. Because, you know, I feel like it gets a bit serious and it's like, okay, I want to meet my person, or, you know, I want to date seriously. And especially if you've had time off dating, it's terrifying stepping back into it and knowing how to navigate that. I would love to, I guess, unpack some of, I guess, the biggest dating issues that you see in men, or like when they come to you that they've got, a red flag's the right word, but just things that they're maybe not hitting the mark or they're making common mistakes.
Yeah. So that's, a great question. It's a lot of different factors. I'm going to try to not go all over the place, but, I think what's happening is, I'm just going to use the guy that is single again, and he's been in a long-term relationship, and he doesn't know how to define himself yet. Like, he's coming out and he thinks that he still wants the same woman that he wanted 15 years ago, or, you know, he doesn't really quite understand who he is. And because of that relationship, he definitely knows what he doesn't want, right, in the next one. But I don't know if he's spent enough time asking himself, who he is now as an individual, and then based on that, like what he's really truly looking for. So it's great if you just want to like date a bunch. I think that that's I think you shouldn't go from like crazy long relationship to another crazy long relationship. have time to heal yourself, do some self-reflection, like what part you played in that role as well. And I think that's a big growth, you know, factor. And so once a guy's like, okay, I'm ready, I've kind of done that self-development, I know what I want, I know who I am, then it's really about making sure that he is being his authentic self, making sure that he's showing up in ways that he is maybe didn't show up in the last relationship as that, like a high value man, you know, like somebody that is truly, you know, has passions of his own, has his own life, but he's definitely wanting to be in a relationship, and making sure that he brings that to this exist, to this new relationship. Yeah. So red flags, things that they're doing probably are saying the wrong things. Probably the pickup lines are wrong, you know, or maybe it's coming across really like weird. Mm-hmm. So it's just really about, like, I'm educating them again, like how to talk to a lady, how to be respectful without coming across creepy, but interested, right? You don't want to be friend zoned either. So it just really depends on some of the struggles that they're facing. But I know a lot of guys really lack confidence in whatever area that is, whether it's their just introverts or they just don't know how. So it's really about, I'm giving them those tools so that they can successfully date.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of dating does come down to confidence, the confidence to even ask for the date, to organize the date, depending on who's organizing it, to when you're, you know, sitting there talking, to the afterwards. I feel like there's also so many rules that people make up and that they just, you know, think that that's how it should go. But then, like, yeah, I guess the confidence part I feel like is massive when it comes to dating, and especially when it comes to dating off apps, especially I feel like when you know you walk into a room and you actually haven't met them in person, but then even if it's somebody new in real life that you know you've got in front of you and you want to ask on the date, having that confidence, because I feel like it's how you execute those things that can really make or break a date sometimes.
Oh yeah, and women are hugely attracted to confidence, and I think that we can, like, it's almost like we can smell it, we can sense it, you know, and it's really about, like, body language and the way that they're delivering. Like I said, okay, so it's how you ask questions, right? So I always hear that people get into first couple dates and it's like an interview and they can't stand mm-hmm. it. It's like, how do you ask the right questions and find out enough about that person to see if you want to go on a second date without having, like, interview questions? So that's one thing that I really try to teach, because I want you guys just to have fun. All of you people that are in the dating world, you know, we have a couple bad dates or we have the same thing happen and we get so burnt out so fast. We're like, oh my God, that's so exhausting. I'm so tired. I don't even want to date anymore. So have fun. Like, really, first date, don't go to dinner. Don't go to, like, coffee or a drink. I really think it should be like an adventure date, because a couple things that happen when you do this, and it can just be like a walk around, I don't know, wherever it is that you live. It doesn't have to be a long date, but think about this too. Do something that maybe you've always wanted to try, and maybe you just haven't had someone who is willing to do, I don't know, stand up paddleboarding. I don't know. I'm just going to throw that out there. And you can find so much about that person based on an adventure date to find out, to see if they are adventurous or how much they are adventurous, if that's important to you, whether or not they, you know, it takes up the pressure off of, like, sitting across from someone and having these, like, interview questions, like I said. So it's a little bit more relaxed. And I think that there's also, you can, when you do some kind of activity, you build endorphins, right? And so there's mm-hmm. this kind of bond that happens with you two. So no matter what, you're going to have fun. And you can also see whether or not, if you do like a group type of event, that if they talk well to people, if they're rude to people, I mean, you can kind of really tell a person about themselves, whether or not they're a good fit for you, just by doing like a half an hour or an hour date, you know, taking a class, doing something.
Yeah, there's so many things you can pick up on that you can't necessarily just from seeing across from somebody, and how they respond to, I guess, different situations, like stand up paddleboarding. If you're obviously going to fall off, you know, are they laughing? Can they take a joke? Like the banter, all those things that I think are really important. And because it's so intimidating sitting across somebody you don't really know. Yeah. And if you think, like, I think about the times I go for dinner with my friends, that we'll sit in silence at times, unless they've got, like, we've got so much gossip to catch up on, we're happy sitting in silence. But it feels like when you first start dating somebody that there can't be any silence, or if there is, that it's awkward, or what are we going to talk about, and just all this added pressure. So I'd love to know, do you have, I guess, any tips for, let's say we are having a dinner date, how do we ask better questions?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I love to ask open-ended questions, and there's a lot of questions you can answer. If you're online dating, which most of you are, go back and read the person's profile. Look at some of the questions that's in there, because hopefully they're true, right? Let's just assume they're all true. And pick a couple questions and ask something like, let me give you an example. What are you passionate about right now in life, right? I don't know. That's just a very generic, easy question. And it basically allows her, well, I'm just assuming it's, you know, a guy asking her, it allows her to really think about what's going on in her life and talk about something she's excited about, and you can see how she'll light up. And then from there, you can ask another question, or you can say, who's been one of your biggest influences in life, like a family member, a friend, and why? Or where's the best place you've traveled to and why do you think it's the best place? Or, so you can have all of these questions, whether or not you want to be someone that travels, whether or not family is important to you. There's all these questions, and it's just basically like a fun question, and she kind of gets to answer and talk and like describe herself. And from there, you can kind of click off or tick off the boxes that are really important to you under your life goals, your values, and your beliefs, because those three categories are so important to have aligned with somebody that you have a future with. Now, it doesn't mean you have to have the same hobbies, or don't have to like the same food, or even have every friend in common. So I think that hopefully you have one of each category, like, oh, maybe you try pickleball together or something. But when you have your life values, your goals, and your beliefs, in line with each other, then that is like the perfect foundation for a healthy relationship. And of course, there has to be chemistry, and there has to be some type of, you know, desire to want to be with that person, not just those issues, right? Or those, excuse me, issues, those categories. So.
Yeah. And I think it would be a great way to, I guess, unpack those and work that out, because I don't know if it's, I'd love to know actually. I know a lot with women with dating, and especially like most of the dating I've seen is obviously women in their 20s, early 30s, but it's very much like, oh my God, did they like me? And they're very much an emphasis on that. And they're not necessarily looking at the values and if they align. They're more just looking to, I guess, fill that kind of void. Mm-hmm. Is it similar with like the men that come to you with dating, or do you think that's more of something that maybe, and not to necessarily put it in gender stereotypes, but that women typically do?
Yeah. I mean, guys do it too. They're like, did she like me enough? And I think that there is body language key that is key factor of knowing if somebody really likes you. Okay. Just for example, you're having a conversation, say you are at dinner, and you're just like nodding your head and you're agreeing, because maybe you really just want to leave the date. So where your body is facing the door, or your arms are crossed or your legs are crossed. That means you're closed off. So you're not really listening. You're just kind of nodding your head. Now, if you're completely relaxed, your arms aren't closed off, your legs are uncrossed, I mean, unless you're cold or something, but for the most part. And you guys are really truly making eye contact. And there is a flow and a banter with the conversation. Now, that also can mean you just like the person and it's a good friend energy. So if that's the case, I respectfully ask everybody listening here, just say, I'm an adult, right? Just say, look, I had a really wonderful time. I think you're an amazing person, but I don't think that we're either the chemistry is there, or I think we'd just be better off as friends. But don't lead the person on. Don't let them think for days and days or weeks and weeks, or, you know, oh my gosh, I really like that person, but they, I don't know if they like me, so on and so forth. And another way men show that they like a woman is they may touch her shoulder. They may do really small gestures of telling you without saying, I like you. But most of them do say, I do like you, or you have beautiful eyes or something. I want to take you on another date. I mean, that's obviously a key indicator that he likes you. So I think it's just really reading body language, making sure that that person is truly, you know, happy to be there. And if not, just, we're all adults. Just say, look, I had a really wonderful time. I think you're great. I just don't think it's what I'm looking for. Period.
Yeah. And I guess obviously dating can be awkward and it can be scary doing that. And it's something I know that I had worked on a lot is trying to being honest, because it's just such a fear of like hurting that other person, even though it's like, I actually don't know you. We're not invested in this. It shouldn't really, you know, affect you that significantly if it's like, you know, off one first date. But yeah, I just know, and I know so many people who are just terrified to say that they, you know, they weren't interested, or they'll opt for ghosting or something instead, and or say at the end of that, yeah, I had a great time, I'd love to see you again, but then they just never reply, or they just start to go MIA.
I can't stand that. I think it's so rude. I just like, just be honest. Like, honestly, like, if that person doesn't want to date me, then that's great, because he just saved me a lot of headache and, you know, energy. So I think that people kind of, and a lot of women do this. I know that I've, in my younger years, I dealt with a lot of that. Oh, I don't want to hurt his feelings. I know he likes me, and worried about his ego, or, you know, all that stuff. But honestly, at the end of the day, it is best, because you guys aren't the right fit. You know, whatever it is, whatever, why, doesn't really matter. It's just allowing that person to know where you're at. I think it's respectful. I mean, if you guys are really into each other and you're like, you know, touching each other and like, definitely a kiss is going to happen, you know, also it could be come on too strong, too fast as well. Right. It could just be like a complete sexual chemistry there, which you're adults. I mean, you figure it out, but yeah, please don't ghost. I mean, I don't know why people just do that. It's just, that is way more rude than saying to somebody, you know what, like, I had a great time. It's just not for me. Yeah. Whatever you want to say.
Yeah. And I think most people would prefer the honesty, to be honest. Like, I know I always would. Like, I'd rather someone just be upfront, because it's like, cool, I know exactly where I stand. I don't have to overthink this. I don't have to go down fantasy lane of, is this going to happen or not happen? Yeah, it's just, communication is so important, and like honest communication. I would also love to, like, I guess, talk about the other end of the spectrum in like facing rejection. Mm-hmm. Because I imagine one thing as a dating consultant is helping clients when they do face rejection, because I feel like it's inevitable when it comes to dating. Do you have any tips for, I guess, getting more comfortable with rejection?
Yeah, so obviously rejection sucks. Because it's usually one-sided, right? It's usually like, oh, I like this person and they're just not feeling me. And I think it comes down to that, again, like just being honest with somebody. But it is really the way that we take it. So it might not be rejection if someone's like, you know what, I had a great time, but I'm just not feeling you, Celeste. And I'd be like, okay, cool. Like, it's just not for me, meaning I don't take it in the sense that like, oh, I'm ugly or I'm old or I'm, you know, all the million stories that can go on in our heads when we're not really secure with ourselves. And I think it comes down to really being comfortable and secure with what you want and who you are, and know that it's so much better because that leaves the door open for somebody that's really going to want to be there and really, really is attracted to you. So I feel that the more times we hear, it's just a more, it's a better guide to where we need to be. And I know that's like easier said than done, but truly, if you can look at it differently and not look at it as, oh, she was, I don't know. When we think about in our head, oh, did I do something? And you start self-analyzing. And trust me when I tell you, it has nothing to do with you. It has something to do with them. The reason why they are deciding that you're not the person for them. And that's okay. Like, well, I don't want to be with somebody that doesn't want to be with me anyway. So cool. Okay. And it kind of just guides you in the right, like it just, I don't know. I feel like, okay, that really delivers and sends you the right and in the right way, like who you're supposed to be with. I can't talk today.
Yeah. That's okay. And that's a great way of looking at it. Like, okay, this is what I don't want in somebody, or, you know, this is how we, I guess we don't align, or looking at it, trying to find the positives in it. I know that's one thing I've tried to do in dating is like, okay, this is what I don't want. Like, let's try and find these things so I can find the right person instead of just holding on to, oh my God, this person had two good qualities. How am I going to, you know, how am I going to like, what's the word? I guess like, you know, when people just hold on to it, like that person did that one thing and it's like, what if I don't find that in another person? But it's like, they did these 20 other things that weren't good for you, so let's, you know, focus on that and try and find somebody who can, you know, bring to the table something that they couldn't.
So you said something really important, because I think like we've all been in relationships that have been like, oh, they have two good qualities and the rest suck, right? But we're just there because, oh, he could change, or, you know, it could work out. He's never going to change for you. He's only going to change for himself. And trust me when I tell you, be in a relationship because you want to be there, because it fits what you want in life. And if not, there's so many millions and millions of people in this world. And when people say like, oh, there's only 10 people in my town, I'm never going to find anybody. And I think there's this limit that is in front of you that is put there only by you, right? It's like, remove that and know that you can find your person. But I think we also have to be a little bit more secure in ourselves and know that, okay, I don't want to be with somebody that all these 20 things aren't working for me and only two things work. I won't be in a relationship like that anymore. Get really crystal clear. Write down, and I mean everything, write down what you want in a person and write down who you are, and does that align? Right? Because as we change and go through different seasons and different, you know, things in our life, we change as well. So what we wanted 20 years ago is what we need now or want even.
And I feel like we forget to look at ourselves too. Like we look at, okay, I want this, 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 and this in a person, but we don't look at how am I showing up in the dating world? How am I showing up in relationships? What are, I guess, potentially my flaws or my, you know, things I need to improve on with my communication, this or that. And often we just put it all on this person needs to feel this need of mine.
Yes, that's a big mistake. It definitely is a mistake, but it's really, nobody can fill any void for you. Nobody can truly make you happy. They can add to your happiness. They can truly make you happier on another level. But you really, truly have to be as whole as possible. And I don't mean like you have to be perfect when you start dating, right? I think some healing comes with coming into the right relationship. So, I have to get all my trust issues and all my abandonment issues figured out. And no, but if you're continuing to work on yourself and you've done work because you don't want to have the same things happen that happened in your last relationship, because they'll continue if you don't work on them. And everybody plays a part in a relationship, right? So it's not just one-sided. And it might suck, like looking at yourself and going, oh my God, this is something I did to ruin that relationship, or there's something that I did that I don't like, and I don't want to continue that into my next one. So I think it's a lot of self-growth there.
Yeah, and I feel like I always hear people say that you need to be healed before you go into a relationship, but I know myself, even with clients that come to me, and just what I've, you know, witnessed in the world, you can do all the healing and things, but relationships just challenge you in a different way, and they bring up all your fears, and even if you think you've worked through it, it brings everything back up quite often. So you can do all the healing and stuff that you, you know, you think is possible, but I find that relationships can be such a great healing process in their own, especially if it's a good, secure, healthy relationship and you can work through that together. Because yeah, you can try and do as much as you can on your own, but I feel like there's only so much, and then you have the opportunity to learn so much within that relationship as well.
Oh yeah, I used to have that belief. I used to be like, okay, well, I can't go into another relationship till I got everything figured out. And the more and more that I spoke to like all different therapists and doctors, they're like, oh my God, the last part of that, yes, you should have worked on yourself, but the last part and the most healing is when you get into the right relationship. And I was like, oh, genius. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's good. Yeah, definitely.
It's possible. So don't, like all of you people, don't give up, but I want you to look at yourself and really truly love yourself. Really, truly try to build that confidence within, because when I tell you that when you have confidence, it just means you're living in your authentic self and you do not give a shit what anybody else says, because you love yourself. And when you have that vibe, you're only going to attract somebody that has that same vibe, right? It's bound to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. One thing I'd also love to talk about is for anybody, let's say they've been in a long-term relationship and they're coming back into the dating game and they're fucking terrified. They don't know what they're doing. They have that fear. Do you have any advice for, especially men, overcoming that fear of getting back into dating?
Yeah. I think dating is almost like, I don't want to say riding your bike, right? Or something, but you just have to practice. And I think it's okay to date a lot of people. I think that that's okay. Just make sure that when you're dating, you're like, look, I'm just dating to figure out what I'm liking in my new relationship or who I am, and just kind of be upfront and honest. I'm not saying you should go out and, you know, have sex with everybody, but obviously you're an adult. You can do what you want as long as everybody's consenting. But date a lot. It's just practice. It's just like, okay, that's really great, because I would have liked that, you know, in my last relationship, but maybe I like this. Ooh, what about this? And so I think it's really finding out, about yourself, and maybe go on group dates, maybe go on, you know, something that's a little less terrifying, if you will. Like I said, why don't you try, and I don't know if you both have a dog, let's just really simple, right? You have your dog to kind of support you. If you're an introvert, just go on a walk, just take him to the park, just kind of see if you like that person, because it's one thing to like them online, right? They have a great bio, they have great pictures, great job, everything looks great. And then you meet them and it's kind of like flat, or maybe it's really amazing. So, if you want to go on a second date with that person, go on a second date. The other thing I would say, there are so many options in the dating world, right? There's so many, like, I think there's too many options in my opinion, because there's also that thing that where you're like, oh, maybe there's the bigger and better is next, you know, so I'm not going to swipe at all. Please don't do that either. If she like looks like you want to take her out, she looks amazing, she sounds great, just go out. Don't make a big deal about it. Just go have fun. If it is a coffee, if that's really what you're into, go have a coffee. But I just recommend starting. Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah, rip the band-aid off. Just exactly. Rip it off.
Yeah.
Once you've had that first one, as long as it's not a horrible date, then, you know, it should be fine. Especially, yeah, I feel like it's always that first one that's like terrifying. And then the more you do it, the easier it comes, I find. Like, obviously, it's going to depend on who's in front of you and, like, what the date is and, like, yeah, the environment. But yeah, it's, like, first one that's just, like, the scariest.
It's scary. And then I would just say be open, because I think a lot of people are set in their ways. Well, the people that I deal with anyway. I mean, I think you get more comfortable and more set. But be open to new possibilities, new adventures, things that maybe you didn't know about. I think the more you're open to possibility, the more you can enjoy, just find out about what it is that you might like, and also what there, you know, what's out there for you.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with dating too. Like, you're meeting new people, and it's not often that you're being put in environments where you're meeting lots of new people. Mm-hmm. Like, if you've been in the same job for years, it's often all the same people. You often have the same friends. If anything, you know, your friendship groups get smaller and smaller, and more of the people that you really want around you. So when you're, like, dating, you're having all of these different new people around you, and you have so many opportunities to learn and potentially find new hobbies, or just even ways of, like, looking and thinking about life. Like, everybody is so different, and dating really throws you into the mix of, there are all these different ways you can live your life and think about life and, yeah, experience it.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's fun. I mean, I know that there's a lot of challenges, but if you can maneuver it properly and really go in with just a different attitude, it's going to be a fun experience. I mean, enjoy it. And hopefully you find your person, you know, relatively soon. But like I said, the more you're confident, the more you have the tools to use to go into that environment and feel comfortable with that, is going to make a huge difference, because you're not going to go in blind. I had this a guy who said, yeah, I'm looking for my person, but I'm just going on a date with anybody that'll go on a date with me. And I said, well, that's kind of interesting. Tell me about that. He says, well, you know, you never know who I'll meet. And I said, that's true. But you're dating anywhere. This man was like 40. He's dating 20-year-olds to like 50-year-olds. And I said, do you understand that the reason why I say life goals should be somewhat similar? It's not about the age. But that 20-year-old, she's probably still like at university, and he's in his 40s, like maybe successful in his career. And maybe, well, oh, I get to travel and da, 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 da. You know, they're just in completely different life cycles in life. So I think once I talked to him about, okay, well, why don't you get a little bit more clear, just instead of, I'm just going to date everybody, because you never know. That's why you're not meeting your person. So it's, like I said, is really, like, start writing. It doesn't have to be, she's blonde, she's 5'4", she's, I don't know, 120 pounds. Take away those things, because you might meet a beautiful brunette who's 5'6". I'm just, you know, with blue eyes. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there, where don't be set in something that you think is 100% your type either. Yeah, just be open. If someone is a beautiful person, a lot of times all of that stuff that we think is so important isn't so important if you're attracted to them, right?
Yeah. And like all those things, like appearance, yes, appearance is important, but as you age, obviously looks fade, things, you know, it changes. It really comes down to your values and, like, I guess who that person is in front of you. Do you have any, I guess, like, dating no-nos, like things like we just shouldn't be doing, dating etiquette that you think is really important?
Yes. So on the first couple dates, you should not be talking about any exes, any drama. Do not bring drama to the table, because I'm going to tell you, men, when we hear that, we want to run. We think you're automatically a negative person, and that no matter what, you're just going to complain. And no, it's a big red flag. So don't talk about drama, exes, even children. If you have children, I think it's great. And hopefully you should have it on your profile. But I want you just to kind of get to know her, to see if you like her as a person. Take away all of those things that you do in your life, like even your job, right? Just who is that? Who are you as a person to see if you like? So that's definitely one. Please just be honest. That's a huge one. Just like be honest about your height and your job. Or like, I think guys lie about their income and about their height. Women, I think it's weight and something else. I can't remember exactly, but just be honest. If you're going to meet somebody, they're going to eventually find out. And then that just has like, that's just a big red flag. It's like, oh, if he's lying about something really small, then I don't know if I could ever trust that person. Don't ghost. Just be honest. Like, just like I said before, there are a lot of red flags depending on the situation, but just enjoy, go out, have fun, be who you are, have the tools that you need to use. Yeah. But like, there's a lot of red flags. I just, if you say you're going to text and in like a couple days, I mean, it doesn't even have to be like, oh, on Thursday, I'm texting you at 7 o'clock. I don't mean that. I just mean, if you have somewhat plans set up and then 2 weeks down the road, you call her and, oh, do you want to get together? And don't expect her to have a positive reaction because she knows that you're still on the app and you're probably dating multiple people. And it doesn't make her feel important and wanted. And the most important thing for women is to feel that there's a safe space, that we can trust you, that we can be open up, we can open up and be vulnerable. And when you play games and when you don't say what you mean, that is never going to happen. So those are just a couple first date ones I would highly recommend not doing.
Yeah, they're really, really, sorry, let me start that again. They're very important, I guess, things to avoid doing. And I feel like we've all seen it. If we've dated, we've all seen those, you know, pop up. And yeah, that's some good advice. And I think we often just forget. We forget how to date and do those things. And we fall into those habits, or we have those, those rule books that need to be thrown out when it comes to dating. Yeah, typically like, you know, playing games or thinking this is how to keep somebody interested or how I should go about it when it definitely isn't.
I had this guy on my podcast and he says to me, and he's like mid-30s and his friends are a little about the same age. So you figure about like mid-30s, guys aren't playing games anymore. And he's like, yeah, so I met this girl and all my friends, like my four best friends were like, no, you got to wait like 3 to 4 days before you even respond to this, because you got to feel like that if you respond before that, it's too needy and da, 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 da. And I'm like, okay, you don't have to respond right away. Like it doesn't have to be, I don't know. I just think that there's, when you come across as matter of fact, like this is what I'm going to do, and you follow through, that builds trust. When you're texting her 100 times a day, that comes across as needy. I mean, that's an exaggeration, of course. Or if you feel like you need this person in your life and it comes across as you just can't be without me and it's really too fast too soon, that is a huge red flag, right? That means that person is not secure within themselves and they need you. So, but don't play games, because there's no need. Women at that age are definitely going to run from you if they think you're still in that 20-year-old mentality or teenage mentality. I'm not quite sure when that changes, but look, if you say you're going to text in a couple days, text. It doesn't have to be an exact date, an exact time, but that way she knows to expect you. She knows that you're going to follow through. And all those are really great signs.
Yeah, and I think with the games too, or even just the, trying to, like what you said there, where this person has their mate saying, you need to wait this long or this song or this and that, like, and follow these rules. I remember with my current boyfriend, when we first started dating, we went on a second date literally the next night because he had to work away. And I was like, oh, well, I'm free tomorrow night. Like, I was meant to do something, but I was like, I don't really want to do that. I'm like, we can go on another date. And I remember on the first like 10 minutes of that date, he was like, oh, I'm surprised that like you wanted to go on a date. Like, isn't there a rule that you're meant to like wait however long? And I was like, fuck the rules. I was like, if I want to see you, I want to see you. Like, if I show up and I'm too much energy or I am, you know, too much for you, you're not my person. I'm like, that's fine. I'll find somebody else. Like,
yeah.
I just find it so funny that people get so fixated on these things where it's just like, no, do something different. Obviously, I stood out then because here I was just being like, nah, fuck any rule there is. I'm going to date how I want to date.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you did that. Hell yeah.
Is there anything else that you think is important to touch on when it comes to dating before we finish up?
Yeah, I just want to touch on, and I know I shouldn't have to say this, but I'm going to. Make sure, guys, that you are properly groomed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is so big. Us women, we spend like, sometimes we'll go buy a new outfit. Sometimes we'll like make sure our nails are done, our hair is pretty. Like, you know, we smell good. All of these things that we do, obviously for ourselves, but we're trying to show you that we care. And so please shower, shave, you know, clean up the beard, whatever it is. Like, I don't care what you do for a living, but make sure your nails are like clean. I mean, all of these things we notice as women, and it sends a message like, oh my God, I don't want him touching me with those hands, like gross. So please take the time, take that half an hour, whatever. It doesn't have to be long. Make sure your clothes are like presentable, there's no holes or they're not wrinkled, or like put yourself together. Like, you're going to represent yourself and like meet somebody, maybe your potential mate. So show up like that, you, how you want to show up in the relationship, because the way that you show up with just say a hole in your shirt and like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. Like, I'll just meet and see if I like her. Like, that just doesn't send the right message. So I just have to put that out there, because there's so many women that come to me and they're like, oh my God, why can't you talk about this more? And I'm really kind of surprised, but I don't think there are a lot of like parents out there like making sure that, okay, you need to show up like X, Y, Z anymore. It's like a different generation, right? It's just like, whatever. But women will appreciate it.
Absolutely, we will. And because we put so much effort in, like the planning before a date, it's like, okay, it starts days before with the outfit. When do I wash my hair so that my hair is going to be in its best form on that day? If I'm going to tan, I have to do that the day or the day before again. Or, you know, even just the makeup, the hair, everything. Like, it's just, it can be a whole process. And then we can walk in like, oh, look at her, like this, you know, this natural beauty. And it's like, this has taken me a whole week. Yes, I might look natural, but this has actually taken me a whole week to get myself looking like this. So I come across just effortless and, you know, like this is just me, but there is so much work that goes into it.
It sure does. It's like that whole, like, I woke up like this is the worst thing ever, because trust me, nobody wakes up like that.
No.
You might be beautiful when you wake up, but you don't look like that.
Yeah, no, not at all. Now, I would love to know, what is something that is orgasmic to you? It can be anything at all.
Really, really great food. Yeah. And I can't be specific because I like a lot of food, but when it's cooked well, or, oh, I'm like, that's like a food orgasm. But if you're talking about body orgasm or vulva or clit orgasm, that's a good vibrator.
Yep.
That's the ones that do the little sucky thing. I don't know what they're called. Oh, but
yes, the like clitoral vacuum time.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God.
They're insane. I found
that one and I was like, oh, how come it took me so long to buy this one?
Yeah, no, it's literally game changing. Every single person that I've ever, like, whether that's a client or, you know, just a friend that has come across one of those or gone and purchased it, they're, oh my gosh, amazing. Game changing.
Game changing for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking.
Now, where can the listeners, the Shaggers, find you, your content, and be able to get some support with dating with you?
Yeah, I'd love to. I have a blog, and you can just go to my website at celestemore.com, celestemore. Just sign up and I'll send you some good information for free into your mailbox if you want. Otherwise, you can always set up a free consult and we can just talk for 15 minutes and see what's going on, if I can help you out. You can find me on Instagram at Celeste Moore Image. And let's see, you can also find me at the Down and Dirty Podcast. And we also talk about, you know, no judgment zone, sex, you know, relationships, image, anything that relates to dating, which is just a really fun space. I have a lot of great guests and I do some solos. But yeah, you can find me, I think, pretty much everywhere, and LinkedIn. So yeah.
Amazing. I'll put everything in the show notes as well. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing your expertise in this area.
Thank you, Emily, for having me on. I hope I was able to give a little bit of information for everybody listening today. So bring it into your relationships.
Yes, bring it in.